You know, there's this comforting illusion we all have. You
Right.
look at a steel beam or a bridge and you just think solid, static.
Unchanging. Just a big gray block.
Exactly. But then you start digging into the material science, the kind of stuff we're looking at today, and you realize that solid beam is actually a frozen battlefield.
It really is. It's a snapshot of a war that happened at the atomic level while that metal was cooling.
And that just it changes everything.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
The outcome of that war, I mean, who won, who lost, who decided to team up, that literally determines whether that bridge holds up or snaps.
And that's exactly where we're going. We are doing a deep dive into a PhD dissertation that tackles a very specific and, frankly, a very expensive problem.
Right.
The title is Coalesced Structure in Bainite and Martensite for Low Carbon Steels by Junhak Pak.
And supervised by Professor Badacia, who's a real heavyweight in this field. He's at Pohang University in Cambridge.
So you know the research is top-notch.
Absolutely.
So set the scene for us. What's the mystery here? Because, you know, you'd think steel is kind of a solved problem by now.
You would think so, but it's far from it. The issue here is with high-strength welds. On paper, they should be incredibly tough.
Right.
But engineers were finding that sometimes these welds would suffer from what the text calls huge reductions in impact toughness.
Which is engineer speak for it shatters when you hit it.
Basically, yeah, brittle fracture. And they tracked the culprit down to this microscopic thing called coalescence.
Coalescence. It's such a soft word, isn't it? It sounds lovely. Let's
It
coalesce.
sounds like harmony, like coming together.
Yeah, but in steel, that's the enemy.
Harmony is the enemy. You do not want your crystals to come together. You want them separate, distinct. When they start coalescing, you get these massive, brittle supergrains. They're like a superhighway for cracks.
That's a terrifying image. So today, our mission is to figure out why these crystals merge, why that ruins the metal's toughness, and this is the cool part, how the researchers used 3D atomic imaging to catch them in the act.
And figure out how to stop them. It's basically a forensic investigation into a microscopic conspiracy.
I love that. Okay, so before the conspiracy, we need to meet the players. We're talking about two kinds of steel structure. Bainite and martensite. Now, I've seen these terms, but walk me through what they are. The dissertation makes a big deal about how they form.
It does. So to get bainite and martensite, you first have to understand how metals normally change.
Okay.
Usually, if you cool steel slowly, the atoms are like people mingling at a party. They just wander around, they diffuse.
Wandering crowd.
Exactly. It's random, it's chaotic, it takes time. But bainite and martensite, they don't have time for that.
Yeah.
They're products of what's called a displacive transformation.
The paper used a military analogy for this, which I thought was perfect.
It's the best way to see it. Imagine a battalion of soldiers in a grid. On command, every single soldier takes one step forward and one step right, all at the same instant.
So they don't change neighbors.
No, the guy next to you is still next to you. But the whole shape of the formation changes. It's a coordinated discipline shift.
Not random wandering.
Precisely. The source calls it an invariant plane strain. And the proof is undeniable. If you polish a piece of steel perfectly flat, scratch a line on it, and then trigger this transformation.
The scratch doesn't just get washed away.
No, if it was diffusion, it would be gone. But here, the scratch stays, but it gets kinked. It
Yeah,
shifts.
I see.
That proves the atoms move together in unison. And that is the heartbeat of both bainite and martensite.
Okay, so they're siblings born from this military maneuver, but they're not identical twins. How do we tell them apart?
Mostly temperature and speed. Martensite is the extreme one. It happens at really low temperatures and it is incredibly fast.
Like how fast?
Sometimes at the speed of sound in the metal, it's a diffusionless transformation, so the carbon atoms get trapped inside the crystal cage.
They can't get out.
No time.
Yeah.
They're stuck. And that makes martensite incredibly hard, but also really stressed and brittle.
And bainite.
Bainite's the middle child. It forms at slightly higher temperatures. Now, the dissertation points out there's a bit of controversy here. Some people argue about whether it's diffusional or displacive.
But Pak and Padishia seem pretty firm on it being displacive.
Very firm. They argue it grows way too fast for diffusion, and it has that same shape deformation, that kink. The main difference is that because it's a little hotter, some carbon can escape.
Okay, so visually, under a microscope, what am I looking at?
Under a standard optical one, bainite usually looks darker because of little carbides that form. Martensite looks lighter, sharper. But within SEM, a scanning electron microscope, you see the real difference.
And what's that?
Martensite is incredibly fine, like sharp needles. Bainite is a bit coarser, more like plates or laths.
And fine is good, right? In metallurgy, small is better.
Fine is almost always good. You want a maze of tiny boundaries.
Which brings us to the villain of our story, coalescence. The problem is these fine, separate plates stop being individuals.
And they start merging.
Yeah.
Correct. Normally, these crystals grow as what we call subunits. Think of them like a deck of cards spread out on a table.
Each card is separate.
Exactly. Even if they're touching, there's a boundary. Yeah. And boundaries are what stop cracks.
Right, because a crack has to change direction or use energy to get through.
Precisely. It slows the crack down. A maze of boundaries makes the steel tough.
But with coalescence, the cards, they fuse together.
Imagine taking five of those cards and just melting them into one thick, solid block. The boundaries vanish.
And the paper says this leads to a deterioration in toughness. Why is a bigger grain so much more brittle?
Because you've removed the obstacles.
Mm.
Instead of a maze, you've built a superhighway. A crack can just unzip that entire coalesced grain in a microsecond.
And that's why the welds were failing. They had these hidden pockets of supergrains.
Exactly.
The text mentions spotting this is tricky. You have to look for a bimodal distribution. What does that look like?
It's actually a really striking visual. In a good piece of steel, if you measure the grains, you get a bell curve. Most are average sized.
Okay.
In these failed welds, they saw two peaks. You have a whole sea of normal, tiny grains, and then suddenly, monsters. Huge grains.
And the paper is careful to say this isn't just because of how you slice the samples.
Wait, the salami slice effect, they ruled that out. They used FIB tomography-focused ion beam.
This tech is amazing. They basically slice the metal atom by atom and take pictures.
Layer by layer, and they rebuild it in 3D. It's like an MRI for steel. And they found these coalesced structures were huge laths, long blocks. Something like 20 microns long by 6 microns thick.
It's that big.
In the atomic world, that's a skyscraper next to a bungalow. It is genuinely massive.
So we have the what? These giant merged grains that let cracks run wild. But the core of this dissertation is the why. Why do these crystals, which are supposed to be separate, suddenly merge?
And this is where it gets fascinating. It all comes down to a race, a competition between the crystal growing and the carbon moving.
Okay, let's break that down. Start with bainite. That's where the carbon is key.
Right. So when a bainite plate forms, it kicks out carbon.
Yeah.
The crystal structure, ferrite, has no room for it. So it spits the carbon into the metal around it.
Like throwing luggage out of a moving car.
A great analogy. And that carbon builds up right at the edge of the plate in the surrounding austenite. It forms a carbon-rich film.
And that film is important.
It's crucial. It acts as a fence. It stabilizes the metal so the next plate can't touch the first one. It forces them to keep their distance.
So the carbon fence prevents the merger.
Yes. Mm. But, and here's a catch, moving carbon takes time. It's diffusion.
And if the temperature is low?
Fusion is slow. The text calls this the lagging partition. The bainite plate is basically growing faster than the carbon can run away. The plate catches up to its neighbor before the fence is built.
And they touch.
They touch. And if, and this is a huge if, they are crystallographically homogeneous, meaning they're facing the exact same direction.
They merge.
They snap together into one single crystal.
The orientation is key then. If they were misaligned, they'd just be two blocks touching.
Exactly. They have to be identical in orientation to coalesce.
So bainite coalesces because the carbon is too slow to build the fence? But the paper says martensite also coalesces?
It does.
But you said martensite is diffusionless. The carbon can't move. So there's no fence to begin with.
Correct. No carbon fence.
Hmm.
But normally, martensite doesn't want to coalesce because making a thick plate creates a lot of strain energy. It distorts the metal.
So why does it happen?
Because the temperature drops even lower. And as the temp goes down, the chemical driving force, the raw urge of the steel to transform, just skyrockets.
It's just raw power.
It is thermodynamics, brute forcing the problem. The free energy change becomes so massive that it overcomes the resistance of the metal. The plates just bulldoze into each other because the reward for transforming is higher than the cost of the distortion.
Wow. So bainite merges because the defense failed. Martensite merges because the offense is just too strong.
That is a brilliant way to put it, yes.
And the researchers didn't stop there. They looked inside these supergrains and found out it's not a happy marriage.
Not at all. They used EBSD electron backscattered diffraction to map the internal structure, and they found misorientation gradients.
In plain English, what's that?
It means the crystal is twisted. They measured a shift of about 3 degrees for every 10 microns. That sounds tiny, but in a crystal lattice, that's huge. It's proof that this grain was originally separate parts that forced themselves together.
And that creates stress.
Massive stress. The text talks about plastic relaxation. The merged block is so thick that the metal around it has to yield. It warps, it creates defects just to accommodate this thing.
So you get a brittle grain surrounded by damaged, stressed out metal. No wonder the welds were failing.
Exactly. And the source notes that external forces make it worse. If you're pulling on the metal or if this happens near the edge, coalescence just explodes.
Why near the edge?
Because it's easier to bulge out. The strain penalty is lower if you can just push the surface of the metal out.
Okay, so we've got the villain, the motive, the opportunity. Now for the solution. How do we stop it? Because Junhak Pak actually proposed a way.
He did. And it goes right back to that key condition we talked about. Do you remember the one requirement for the plates to merge?
They have to be crystallographically homogeneous.
They have to face the same way.
Right.
So Pak thought, if the problem is that they're matching, the solution is to make them mismatch.
Divide and conquer.
Exactly. Break up the alignment. He used a technique called intercritical annealing.
Walk us through the recipe for that.
So you heat the steel up, but not all the way. You stop in the intercritical zone where you have a mix of austenite and ferrite. By holding it there, you let certain alloying elements, specifically nickel and manganese, cluster together.
And those are the important ones here.
They are. They're substitutional atoms, so they don't move easily. Once they cluster, they stay put. So when you cool the steel down again, these clusters act like little chemical roadblocks.
They disrupt the lineup.
Completely. They force the new bainite or martensite plates to form at different orientations. Instead of a neat row of soldiers all facing north, you get chaos. One faces east, one west.
And because they're misaligned,
they cannot coalesce. Even if the carbon fence fails, even if the driving force is high, they physically can't merge because their atomic lattices don't match up.
They just bump into each other and stop.
Yes, they preserve the boundaries. And the dissertation shows this treatment worked. It prevented the super grains and maintained the toughness.
It's so counterintuitive. We usually think of strength coming from uniformity, from purity.
But in material science, uniformity is often fatal. If everything is perfectly aligned, a single defect can travel forever. You need obstacles. You need complexity.
So let's zoom out. What does this all mean for the listener? I mean, why should we care about bainite coalescence?
Well, you might not be welding it, but you trust your life to this physics every single day. High-strength steels are in the frame of your car, the bridges you cross, the pipelines.
And the demand is always for stronger and lighter.
Always. But the classic trade-off in metallurgy is that as you make steel stronger, it usually gets more brittle.
Like glass.
Exactly. Strong, but it shatters. This research is a way to cheat that trade-off. By understanding the personality of these crystals, we can get the strength of martensite without the catastrophic brittleness.
It all comes down to controlling the atomic choreography.
I like that. We're basically directors of a microscopic ballet, making sure the dancers don't crash into each other.
Or making sure they crash in the right way.
That's a better way to put it.
I want to leave the listener with a final thought on that. The source really hammers home that coalescence, the bad thing, happens when things are crystallographically homogeneous, when they're too similar.
Too much agreement leads to failure.
Exactly. And it makes you think. In the world of steel, resilience doesn't come from everyone merging into one giant blob. Strength comes from fragmentation, from boundaries, from things being different enough to stand apart.
If you think about it, if you become one giant uniform mass, one single crack destroys the whole thing. If you maintain your boundaries, if you stay complex, you can endure the stress.
A philosophical life lesson from a slab of metal.
The lattice always has a lesson.
Oh, that's going on a t-shirt. The lattice always has a lesson. Thank you so much for guiding us through this today.
My pleasure. It's always fun to zoom in.
And thanks to you for listening. Next time you cross a bridge, just remember, it's not a block of iron. It's a frozen war of crystals kept strong by their differences. We'll see you in the next deep dive.